Today is Thursday, July 30th, 1992. This is our interview with Leticia Hernandez. It's interview number 2 conducted by Maylee Blackwell. It's part of the Hijas de Cuauhtémoc Chicana Oral History Project. Okay. After that we spoke last time, I went over the newspaper and I was impressed with all the things that we had to say and kind of saddened by the fact that so much of it still remains true. I think a lot of the problems that women in general go through, but I have not been involved with Chicana youth, but I imagine that a lot of the problems that we had then still exist now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think our men will never, well, maybe never is too strong a word, but have a harder time coming to grips with being caring and, well, not caring, but being compassionate towards women and accepting us as equal partners. You know, I think we're taking little baby steps, whereas I think the white woman has come a long way in her own terms, but even they have let the movement kind of lax and fall apart, but I think what's happened is that women have finally said, well, you know, the women's movement was this, and people perceived it to be a gay lesbian kind of a push, and I'm not gay and lesbian, so I can't associate myself with a women's group. But I still believe in a lot of the principles, and I'll be a feminist in my own way. And I think that back then, when we put together the newspaper, different ones of us were going through, obviously, different problems and different stages of our lives. And Anna was ready to be a leader, and I think she could have done, you know, she did a lot on her own and in conjunction with a lot of the women, but there was a lot of jealousies and a lot of infighting and a lot of backbiting and, I don't know, just, you know, having to deal with the guys all the time and constantly fighting wears you out, tires you out, you know, and all the pain stuff that you absorb, you can only go, I think sometimes some people can only go so far with it. A lot of other ones of us, I think, myself included, I just kind of got, I couldn't deal with the bullshit. I've never been one that can deal with it that well. Internal stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know, between the women or just between the group?
I felt that these women, God, they were so smart, they were so savvy, they were putting these things together, and then come to find out that they have the same foibles that you do, and they're dealing with the same, yeah, they're dealing with the same things that you are, and you think, well, geez, you know, I can do this by myself, I don't need you guys. And I think that's what happened to me. You know, I got involved, I was really involved, and I think I still really believe that education is the only way that our people in general, and women in particular, can break out of their molds, can start to deal with taking hold of their own bodies and not procreating like rabbits, you know, just because the guy wants to have sex, you know, that women are going to get pregnant every 9 months. We still have a big problem with that in our culture. I think young girls need to look at themselves and what they want to do without just falling into that trap of getting involved with a man and that the man's going to save your life, you know, that you have to get married or that if you get pregnant and you go out of your house, you know, that's going to save your life. It only makes it worse. And I think those were the problems then. Those are still the problems now, you know, and I think now, because we hear so much more about teenage pregnancy and the problems with our youth, that it seems that the problem's actually larger than it was before. And I don't know, you know, because I don't keep track of the statistics, so I wouldn't be able to give you an educated comment on that. But for as far as I was concerned, we did the newspaper, we got involved, we went to conferences, and all of a sudden I just got tired. I didn't... for as much as they wanted to talk about liberation of the Chicana, they were still trying to please their men, and I couldn't comprehend that.
In what ways?
I mean, their main goal, not their main goal in life, but I think, I don't know, it just seemed to me that they were doing the same thing that I was doing, and it wasn't any more liberated. And they weren't I don't know, taking me to any further heights. They weren't stimulating me to do anything different. And back then, after we came back from the Houston conference, I was just so disillusioned with the whole kit and caboodle that I said, you know what, I don't need this shit. And I just backed away. I backed away from Mecha. I backed away from Hijas and the women's group. That's when I got involved with the Ballet Folklorico, and I dedicated all my energies to that.
So do you remember what it was about the Houston conference?
All the infighting, all the, you know, you have this, I guess you go into things with rose-colored glasses and you think, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do the other thing, and we're all going to come together, and we're going to free ourselves, we're going to do great things, we're all going to become wonderful people. Mm-hmm. And then you get somewhere, and we were boycotted, Anna, and the things that we had to say that we believed in, and people walked out on us. The Texas women were very, there was regionalism, you know, they were anti, we weren't Chicanos, Chicanas, they were the Californians, or, you know, you Californians think you know it all, and, you know, you just learned about La Raza, and, you know, we've been fighting this all our lives, and, you know.
Was this the women who organized it, or just women from
just Texas? Well, everybody, the Texas people in particular. I guess I felt bad that our group, and then all the women from California were not together. I mean, there was infighting between the women that went from UCLA and Cal State LA and versus the Long Beach women. I mean, some people coalesced with us, and some people walked out on us. It was just.
How was that split up?
Because I think they thought that we were too radical, that we were too feminist, mm-hmm. and that
who were the women?
The Texas women?
No, the women that thought that you were too radical.
Individuals, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But as groups?
As those groups, when we went to that conference, we were told not that we were being, that we were too radical, that we were being too feminist, that we wanted to be like white women, mm-hmm. and that you know, our job was to work alongside our men, and or to work within the movement.
Mm-hmm. Do you think those women were sent by movement men?
I think they really believed that.
Mm. No, I think they really believed it too, but I don't. You know, there's some notion that perhaps they wouldn't have gone really to the conference, but just to keep this, you know,
just to keep us down, yeah.
One point going.
It's possible, and I had heard that back then too. Now that you say it, it comes back to me. Mm-hmm. Because I remember being in workshops, and everywhere we were, it was that kind of attitude that took to the front. And so, because women are. And especially back then, kind of tentative on, we're barely
the first one,
yeah. Mm-hmm. You're taking your first baby steps, and those around you, if you can barely run, and the other people are barely learning to walk, the ones that are barely learning to walk might not run. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happened to us. When we came back, when we came back home, it was a very stressful time to go to Houston. It was stressful in the car. There was a station wagon. We had two station wagons, and we had 8 women in each station wagon. That was stressful.
Where were they from? All from Long Beach?
All from Long Beach and L.A. Mm-hmm. And it was a hard trip, and it was, I guess, a disappointing trip. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, to be shut down the way we were was deflated all our egos.
That's painful.
For me, it made it really difficult to just stay with it. I just said, you know what, I can't deal with this anymore. And I didn't feel like I needed a woman's group to be a total woman, that I could do what I wanted to do, mm-hmm. and nobody was going to stand in my way. Mm-hmm. But and then there was a lot of infighting among our own group.
The Long Beach group.
Mm-hmm.
Over what kind of issues?
I think just petty jealousies.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it was because it was something that was different and new, and so, you know, and plus you weren't getting very much support from anybody?
Well, that too, and I think that you had certain people who were very strong, and then other people who were just as strong, but were, you know, the egos fighting against each other, and one, certain people wanting to do things their own way, and other people saying, well, you know, what about this? Well, no, you know. And so then all of a sudden, because you don't believe the same things that they do, or that you think that they should be doing it a little bit differently, and I guess.
So do you think that it was an ideological thing?
Not ideological, but just, I think,
trying to work together.
Trying to work together. I think you had a lot of strong personalities that were trying to work together, but, you know, if the same strong personalities always come out doing it their own way and don't allow room for other people, then it makes it a little bit difficult, and then those kinds of infights start, and we have problems. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. What did Anna say happened after the third newspaper? We just kind of fizzled out.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, she didn't really say in the interviews, but in the Encuentro Femenil, it does say that they thought that the journal was a continuation and a place for more in-depth writing and serious writing, and I don't know. I think that they just thought it was a bigger venue, bigger place to get stuff done. And plus, it wasn't associated with the school. It was pretty much independent. So.
Yeah, I think people had a lot of problems with that, you know, it's so parochial, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm from Long Beach State, where you're from. It's kind of like, you know, gangs mm-hmm. and turfs, and we kind of fall into those patterns and can't break out. I think the system is designed that way too, because, you know, even
if everyone has their little, even neighborhoods.
Even neighborhoods, even, you know, even white people. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go, you know, look at people who go to Yale versus people who go to Harvard. I mean, it's rivalries, and I think that happened to us. Kind of a shame.
Between other schools.
Yeah, between other schools.
So were women organized at other schools then?
Yeah, women were organized at UCLA, at Cal State LA. Mm-hmm.
But they were women inside Mecha, or
women inside
Mecha?
That I don't remember. Mm-hmm. Because I remember not dealing too much with women from other campuses. Mm-hmm. Except when I went to San Diego, and I went.
San Diego, and they had a strong group.
Yeah, they had a very strong group. And I remember going to Houston. And I remember going to a couple meetings at Cal State LA. But, you know, again, the same kind of rivalries where our group is better than your group because, you know, you didn't think about it first, but, or we thought about it first, or, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, it's kind of childish, kind of sad.
So can you tell me from UMAS, and how UMAS got to be Mecha, got to be, and then the women, how did the women inside get to this point when they were in a group doing this newspaper? I mean, what was that process, and what were the beginning things in UMAS that were happening, and what were you doing together, and what, you know, made women organize independently? And
well, you know, when UMAS changed to Mecha,
what year? 69, 70.
I think it was 1970. Mm-hmm. Or it could have been late 1969. Mm-hmm. I'm not the best person to tell you. Mm-hmm. I know that I wasn't that involved with Mecha or UMAS my first semester, but towards the end of the semester I was. Mm-hmm. And then...
Did you go home during the summer?
I went home during the summer. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back, you know, just kind of getting back into school kind of thing. And then they had already decided that they wanted to change UMAS. You know, they didn't want to be Mexican American anymore because they felt that that was being a hyphenated person, that we weren't hyphenated people. And
so did you go to, was that in the summer, that summer that was the Santa Barbara conference was?
It was during the, I guess it was during the mm-hmm. summer, right? Yeah, no, I didn't go to that because mm-hmm. I was at home, I was working.
Mm-hmm. So you would go home during yeah. summer, so where would you work?
I worked at a dress shop downtown L.A. Mm-hmm. The first summer, I went back home. I stayed with my grandmother, and I worked at the dress shop. And then after that, I never came home again. Mm-hmm. After that, because when I went back the next semester, we lived in our own apartment. And then you had to pay rent, and it was month to month, so you might as well just stay there. Mm-hmm. Then I just got jobs in and around Long Beach.
So the first semester you weren't that involved until the end, and then the second semester, do you remember what happened?
The second semester more involved, and I think my involvement stemmed, and I hate to say this, I hate to admit to it, but stems from my involvement with a man. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think
I think that was, for the most part, a lot of women.
He politicized me. I mean, mm-hmm. he talked to me, and he told me, and because I was so in love, you know, I was gone. He was God and could walk on water and all this stuff, you know. So I just went along with him mm-hmm. and started thinking about things that he was telling me about, and then honestly started believing them on my own.
Mm-hmm. And this is someone in Mecha.
Someone in Mecha mm-hmm. and someone in EOP. Mm-hmm. And so, because of that, and I think a lot of the women like Corrine and Anna, who were so, really so active, and they were older, I think they were about 5 years older than mm-hmm. Martha and I.
She's 5 years older than
me. Okay. And they had already graduated or were ready to graduate or, you know, doing their senior level work. Mm-hmm. They were ready for more, but the guys were just, I remember, you know, that them, because Anna was the first woman president of Mecha, chairperson, I guess.
So when was this? What year was this? Were you were in Mecha?
I was in Mecha. Mm-hmm.
I think it's 69, 70.
It had to be 70. It had to be 70.
The fall of 69, spring of 70. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because when we came back, I guess Frank was still president of Mecha, then Anna ran, and Juan, and Armando Vasquez and her were always being rivalries and being rivals. Mm-hmm. And mostly, I think, you know, Armando had his male ego hurt because he didn't win the election. Mm-hmm. And he was always undermining her. He was calling meetings behind her back. The guys were doing stuff on their own and leaving her out of it.
Do you remember, okay, so what, do you remember leading up to this? What was going on in UMAS? What were you guys organizing, or what was the feeling in the group? Or you were just getting involved, so you don't remember?
I was just getting involved, and I think a lot of what we were doing at the time was, like I had said before, working on the great boycotts and working on, I guess, the administration and trying to get more students into EOP and mm-hmm. trying to reach out to high schools and getting more kids involved to come to college so that there would be more of us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then so you do you remember the elections? Do you remember going into the elections? I mean, was it a radical change? Was it that different that she was a woman in the president? Or
oh yeah, they were.
I mean, how did the group in, on the whole feel that way, or was it just a few people?
I think it was just a few people. The problem with those few people is that they were the ones that had been in charge before, and the ones that were going to be in charge later.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were upset that there were so many of us that felt that Anna could do a good job. I think it was okay when Anna was vice chair, and it was okay if she was the secretary or the treasurer, but it wasn't okay that she would be the chairperson of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
I think the guys wanted to be in charge and in control of everything all the time.
And it was an election, so
mm-hmm.
I can't really say.
You know, you can't blame it. They can't blame anybody but themselves. You know, and I think part of their, I think they underestimated Anna's personality and Anna's abilities, and Anna's being able to reach out to other people to get them to vote for her, because obviously she did.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, but you know, they were always, God, they gave her a rough time.
Mm.
You know, like I said, they were always undermining her and trying to have hold caucuses and meetings without her, and then implement, try to come back and implement their own ideas, whatever
there
they were.
There wasn't enough room then in general meetings to do that, or they just didn't want to participate with her?
You know, I think the other part of the problem was that the Mecha group, as large as it was and as many people as there was, I don't think that there were that many people who were involved with the executive team.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you have five or six people who are at the executive team and they're the ones that stay up all hours till the middle of the night deciding the policies or deciding whatever they were deciding,
mm-hmm.
that it, and the other people were just members but not really involved members, that makes a difference. I don't remember there being huge meetings where there was a lot of people. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they would start out, but by the time things really got underway,
and semester.
No, the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
That there would only be just those few people around that table making the decisions. So basically, if you had the time and if you had the energy and you had the gumptions to stay there until it was over and to participate, then you would. See, and I think they did that a lot to wear down the opposition. And to wear down new ideas, because if new people are participating in the meeting, if they don't stay with it all the time, or if they also have to go and study, or if they also have other obligations, and they can't stay there all night long until you come to a certain agenda item,
mm-hmm.
then you know you can control the meeting and you can control what happens. And
so
I think
who were these people? I mean, who was the leadership then at this time?
It's Armando and Frank and Ruben and Cy and a couple of other people, Anna and Corrine.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank and Mary Lou. And the rest of us were just, you know, the little members. Little members. Little sheeps. Little macheeps.
And so she, Anna was president, and there wasn't a change in Mecha except for this infighting, right?
I don't remember any real change, because they gave her such a hard time the whole time that she was president that, you know, we went ahead and did the same things that we always had been doing as a group.
Mm-hmm. What kind of hard time? What do you mean? Like
just those things, you know, that if you feel that, you know, the rest of your executive committee is not on your side, you know, if you feel that, and if it was true that the rest of the members of the executive committee were meeting behind your back and not involving you,
mm-hmm.
and trying to undermine you as a leader,
yeah.
it makes it difficult for you to be a leader. You know, and so then at that time, I guess that's when we decided to do this, and we devoted ourselves, or actually Anna did, mm-hmm. into going in this direction because it was so hurtful and so painful for her.
Do you remember a thing that happened with the people who opposed her being president ended up hanging an effigy of her?
Yeah, oh yeah. Damn.
So what happened with that?
I don't remember the specifics, God, but yeah, I do remember them hanging they burnt the effigy. Mm-hmm. Or they hung her in the trailer or something, because we had a little trailer on campus. And the group of us came in and this thing was hanging in there. And I guess it was, you know, Armando and company thinking that they had a real funny thing that they were going to do. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. You know, and then Armando was sleeping around with every woman in the world, and so of course he used that as his method to undermine Anna also by talking to the women and making them come along on his side. You know, and some of the younger kids he had, in fact, Dolores, his wife, was one of the ones. And then later on, it was really amazing because after Armando got together with what did I just say? Her wife? His wife's
Dolores.
Name?
Jesus. I don't know who Dolores is. Dolores, what's her last name?
Dolores Ramos. Mm-hmm. There was a whole group of kids that I guess came in 1970, spring of 70. It was Dolores and her sister and a bunch of young girls. And they seemed so much younger than me. And they were only 1 or 2 years younger. Mm-hmm. But, and I guess because all the guys were after them all the time, made you know, your old stuff, and so they're going to concentrate on the younger girls. But Dolores and her sister, and they all became real fast friends with Armando. And I think after that, if 1971, 1972, Armando and Dolores were co-chairs of Mecha. Mm. And that was all right with them. Mm-hmm. But of course, that's because Dolores believed and said everything that Armando said. Mm. Yeah, I'd forgotten about the effigy. Yeah, that was kind of brutal on their part.
Maybe it didn't. I don't know. So, do you remember exactly how the group started to form that worked on the newspaper?
Oh, no. I don't. I know that we had, I guess it's just started with little groups, you know, coming over people's houses, or Anna and Corrine coming over your house and getting like myself and Martha talking to us and getting us just having little rap sessions. Talking about things and seeing if we believed the same way, and if we did, what did we think about doing this and such. And so I think a lot of us bought into that, and we thought, yes, this is real good, and it's true, you know, we can't, how can, and especially after what happened to Anna during her presidency, we used that as a rallying point that, yes, there's got to be a change, and we don't want to take over, and we don't want to wear the pants, and we don't want balls. We want to help you. You know, we want to be side by side and be equal partners. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't have to. What's the opposite of emasculate? Emasculate.
Build someone up. Or?
You know, be yeah. Well, defeminize us because we want to do this. You know, we just want to be us. We want to be able to do what we can in order to help us get, us as a people, get mm-hmm. to where we need to go. Mm-hmm. And that was our whole goal. And as I was reading a lot of these, some of the women that were involved, and I guess on the outskirts and in other areas, were going through the same thing. And it's funny that this happened, but I guess because of the involvement, it all happened around the same time on different campuses and in different organizations where women were part of, but were always supposed to, yes, la raza this, but you keep your mouth shut and you stay You know, you stay in the background and you make the tortillas and you stuff the envelopes and you type and you, you know, clean up after us or bring us the beer. And, you know, and everything will be hunky-dory. And I think they want, we all, all over the place, had the same enlightening kind of experiences that made us start to form women's groups or women's arms of the organization, and to rally the women to be more involved, and so that we could be an active voice and an active participant in the Mecha organization. I don't think at any point did we want to be the ultimate leaders. I mean, or to take over and to feminize.